and then told him that he would just have her shipped home. The undertaker, puzzled, asked, "Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be so wonderful to have her buried here and you would get to spend only $150? The man replied, "A man died here 2,000 years ago. He was buried here. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance." Sorry, mothers-in-law. I mean, we love you. All right. Well, now that the fun is just getting started, I'll continue. Forgiveness. Last Sunday, I talked about offenses, about forgiveness. We have all been offended, and we have all offended someone. We talked about Jesus instructing us to lovingly confront those who offend us, and we discussed the process pretty thorough. We also discussed how Jesus requires us to forgive the offenders just as he has forgiven us our offenses against him. When we choose not to forgive, we saw that torturers or tormentors, in other words, demons, have access in our lives. And we talked a little bit about that. We look at the Lord's Prayer and the connection between forgiving others and being forgiven ourselves. And if you miss that, go to lmclabelle.org, look at sermons, and you will see that sermon posted there. You can listen to it again. I want to bring a few points about forgiveness. The first point I want to bring is forgiveness does not depend on fairness or feelings. You know, well, I forgive if I think you deserve it, but if you don't, then I won't. It doesn't depend on that. It doesn't depend on how you feel. Secondly, you know, in the word, forgiveness has no exceptions. Even a terrible sin as divorce, which the Bible says that God hates, yet he allows one way out. But with forgiveness, there are no exceptions. There's no exceptions in the word. We're told, commanded to forgive. Number three, you know, we want to forgive from the heart. Sometimes that's very hard. You know, the wound, the hurt could have been that deep. And you can't start really sincerely, and you just grit your teeth. But you can begin by being obedient to the word and making a decision to forgive. You see, that is independent of how you feel, because the decision is based on knowledge. And the will takes that knowledge and says, "I don't feel like it, but I am going to do it." And we can start there, and slowly but surely, as you commit to it, the Lord will help you, give you the strength, the wisdom, and the direction to go through the process of forgiveness. Fourthly, forgiveness needs to take place if we feel any hate or bitterness or resentment or blame towards the offender. When we feel a desire for vengeance, desire of punishment towards that other person. And therefore, we need to check our hearts, make sure that the process has fully completed, and we are free from anything that would hinder that forgiveness to be manifested. There's some misconceptions about forgiveness. Sometimes we think that once we choose to forgive, like I just said, the pain will leave. Well, you know, healing is a process. And we need God to come and heal our hearts and deal with the pain in our hearts. We have to work with him. You know, when we go to the doctor and they want to do surgery, there's a process. It just doesn't happen instantly. It requires your cooperation as well as those skills and abilities. We know God's abilities to do things in us, but he needs our cooperation. It's always a process. And for some people, it takes longer than others. Some people can release quickly. Others, they really have to go through a very hard process at times, depending on the offense. You know, and sometimes, like, for example, if there is a generational sin pattern, there may be a curse influencing your attitude from past generations. We have to deal with that as well, or else, you know, the tendency is for that same unforgiveness to try to come in, or, you know, we attract those offenses back again, and we say, here we go again, you know, it seems like it follows me. Well, you know, there may be something that we have to deal with beside just that particular offense. And we'll talk about generational sins and offenses and curses some other time. I believe it's important to know about these things. But sometimes this thing had to be broken before we can honestly deal with forgiveness with a clean heart and be free from it. Sometimes we think, well, I just make a decision and that's it. I'll forgive and I'm done. We think it's an instant thing. It's always a process. You know, you do that, well, okay, I forgive, and that's done. Okay, that's forgotten. And the next time you see that person, I don't know if I want to talk to them. I don't know if I want them to see me. I don't want to communicate. Well, that's an indication that the process is not done. It's a process. The wounded person needs to evaluate the full impact of the hurt in their heart. You know, we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, did I get hurt or just did I dismiss it? Am I holding resentment? Did it create something in me that I'm going to have a problem with? And then, am I holding unforgiveness? You know, do I say it, but in my heart, I'm holding back? Sometimes we have to go through the painful memories of revisiting what happened. And, you know, you have to do that one more time and go through it and really ask God to come in. You know, when the doctor is doing surgery because there's something in you that needs to be removed, he has to make an incision. He has to open. He has to grab all of that. And then he has to sew back and give it time for it to heal. The process can be painful, can be uncomfortable. But with God's help and grace, we can reach that place where we can say, you know, I'm truly forgiven that person from the heart. I don't hold any grudge, any bitterness. I'm not holding anything back. My heart is clear on that, whether the relationship gets fixed or not, and we'll deal with that in a minute. There's some hindrances to forgiveness that I want to point out. There are at least five or six that I've got here, so bear with me. The first hindrance to forgiveness is the the lack of knowledge of what the scripture has to say. I was sharing with somebody else yesterday that the word of God is our manual. You know, I bought some stuff because I'm working on my shower, in our shower at home, and I bought parts that have to be put together. And the tendency is for us to go ahead and try to do it on our own. And when we mess it up, sometimes we break it before it's put together. And then we thought, I better go to the manual. I better look at how they, the creators of this thing, said to put it together. God has given us a manual for us, for our lives, how to conduct ourselves in this world. And we are wanting to do things on our own. We think we know it all, you know, like some teenagers. They know it all, you know, mom and dad, you're clueless. I know it all. I don't need your help. And then we have to pick up the pieces later on and put them back together slowly. God, you know, gave us his word, his scripture, so that we know how we can live in the kingdom of God right here on earth. And so, you know, sometimes we need somebody to explain to us the scriptures, what it means, so that we can understand what really they're saying and we can do the proper application. But, you know, every one of you who have received Jesus in your heart, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He is your teacher. Now, he will use somebody else to help you get started. But always ask the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean to me in to this circumstance that I am in right now? And with his help and the help of people that are mentoring you, then we get to know. And once we know, then we can make the honest decision whether I want to flow through with this or I, you know, and sometimes even with knowledge, we say, no, I don't want to do it. I know it's the right thing, but I don't want to do it. Well, you know, that's another theme for another day. Another hindrance is this feeling thing that we think that we have to have in order to forgive. Well, I don't feel like forgiving you. I don't have it. I don't feel it. Forgiveness starts as an act of the will. You choose to because that's what God said it is best for you to do. You forgive, and you start as an act of the will, not as an act of the emotions. Eventually, the feelings will follow that decision if you stay with it. You know, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow those that believe." And you know, we get it backwards sometimes. I want to see the signs and then I will believe. Jesus said, you believe first and the signs will follow you. Well, this is the same thing here, same principle. You take the action, you take the determination. I am going to forgive. And then the feelings will follow that decision. But remember, it is not an instant thing. It's a process. And we have to consider that as well. Sometimes we say, it's just too big. The offense was too great. The insult was so devastating. I just can't forgive. Forgiveness takes time. And the bigger the offense, sometimes it prolongs a little longer. But now consider, you were dead in your sins. We both were. We all were. Jesus loved us before we even knew about him. And he loved us so much he was willing to die for us. And I don't understand how God can do that, but he did. You think that a little offense from your brother, your sister, your relative, whoever, you think it's just too big? No, it's not. And you know, you're not going to do this alone. See, you are not going to forgive on your own strength. And this is why God comes along. He requires you to forgive, but then he provides the strength to follow through what he's trying to work in you. His good pleasure. And you know, when he's trying to work and tell you, you need to forgive, it's not for the other person's benefit. It's for your benefit. So it takes time. It requires God's grace. And that's why we invite God to be dealing with us, helping us, strengthening us, so that we can get to the point that we can say, I forgive that person and mean it. Some people say, I don't want to forgive. I don't like to forgive because they equate forgiveness with excusing or ignoring the offense. Well, last time we dealt with this area when Jesus said, if somebody offends you, rebuke him. In other words, deal with it. Confront that person. Now, you do it nicely, as we talked about the last time. When you choose to forgive, you make a decision to forgive, you're not saying that the offense is okay. No. That's why you are taking the steps that you are. You know the offense was grievous. It was hurtful. Forgiving does not negate holding the offender responsible. As we said, Jesus said, holding him accountable for that. Some people feel that if they forgive the situation, then it will repeat itself, or that it will even get worse. So they feel a kind of protective power in holding back forgiveness. See, if I don't forgive him, maybe they won't come around me and hurt me again. That's an ungodly belief that you have to get rid of. So, don't think that by you extending forgiveness, you are ignoring or you're excusing the offense. Number five, sometimes we are too quick to jump the process. I think I forget that person. I'm good. I don't need to go there no more. Well, why can't you? Because it hurts. Yeah. If there's a hurt there, there's probably some unresolved issues there that have to be dealt with. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any unforgiveness from the past or even from the present. You know, our hearts, they can be tricky. In fact, Jeremiah, I didn't write this down, but Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is very deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, when he says who can know it, there's one that knows, even our heart, because sometimes we don't even know our own heart. And there's where we invite the presence and the working and the dealing of the Holy Spirit. God, just show me what's inside me that I have not released, that I'm holding back. Because I want my heart to be clear so that I can receive everything that you want for me. We don't always remember all the things, all the people that have wronged us that we have not fully forgiven. And so God will remind you. You know, this person. Sometimes it may take some time. I know I offended somebody some years ago. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I thought I had dealt with it. And then I was going to teach a message on forgiveness here. And the Lord quickened it to me and brought that person to my heart. And the person had moved. And so I inquired. I was able to get an address. I wrote an apology letter, and the guy responded, and he said, you know, I remember the person writing and saying, I have read this, I have asked the Lord, and I believe that you are sincere in your apology. I forgive you. Boy, that was a release that I didn't know that I was holding back. And so the relationship did not get restored necessarily, but my heart was clear. You know, I did all I could to get this thing resolved in my heart between God and between my brother. And whether he received it or not, even if he would have said, I still hold it against you, I would have been released. And my, you know, I did my best. Lord, bless him, or something like that. So now we need to remember that hurt people. If you are hurt, usually the human reaction is to hurt back. And you know, when you consider this, maybe it will soften your heart towards the offender. You know, maybe he or she had been so hurt that they just swung out in their defense, and you happened to be in front and you got hit. So, you know, we have done this. Every one of us has been offended. You know, you go to work, you get offended, and you come home and your wife or your husband pays for it. You know, you didn't mean to offend them, but you were hurt, so you swung back. So hopefully the husband or the wife would see, you know, he or she is in a bad place. I'm going to extend mercy. See, this will soften your heart towards the offender. You will not take it personal. And you say, he just hurt, and he's just responding. That's not having pity. That is having compassion. And compassion comes from the Holy Spirit. So don't think on pity. Think on compassion. When we choose to look and live through our woundedness, forgiveness can seem offensive, as I said. Sometimes it feels impossible, and even a quick way to compound the unfairness of being wronged by others. We think, well, you know, I allow this, and some more will happen later on. We tend to say, we want blessing for those who follow the rules of life and love, but we want correction for those who broke them. Resentment makes us believe that the only way to get free from our pain is to make sure that those who cause the pain in us, they need to hurt as bad as we did. That's a trap. That's a trap in disguise. It is like having a knife stuck in our heart, digging deeper and deeper, keeping us tortured and unable to make any forward move because of the pain. When we have trust issues with someone, these things are like toxic gas. We think it's going to keep people away, but actually, what this toxic gas does is everyone that gets close to us, it chokes the life out of them. You know, we see that people don't like to be too long around us because we have become toxic. Forgiveness is only made possible by my cooperation with the Word, the Scriptures, and with the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to lean into what Jesus has already done, which is to allow his grace for us to flow freely so that it can flow through us to others all around us. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So don't say, I just can't receive the grace of God for this thing. You have received a measure of Christ's gift. It has come to you. Now, we need to let it flow through you to others around. Now, another misconception about forgiveness is we think that we confuse redemption with reconciliation. Now, reconciliation requires two people who are willing to do the hard work to come back together in friendship. Redemption, on the other hand, is between you and God. We look for that redemption. We hope for reconciliation, but it not always happens. But you can forgive, and that's redemption for you, and that's what we're after to start with. Forgiveness is the key in the kingdom of heaven to live an abundant life. Remember, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is here. In fact, if you have received Jesus, you are living in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Forgiveness is the key to get rid of the influence of the sin of our fathers and the generational curses in our ancestry. Like I said, I will teach about this some other time. But there are generational curses that we need to find out, because all of our forefathers sinned against God. And then forgiveness is the key to get rid of our spirit and soul hurts from the past. There are some things that we cannot resolve from our past. We walk with guilt. We walk with shame, unforgiveness, all those kind of things. Forgiveness is the key to get rid of those past soul and spirit hurts. All of us have been raised believing some things that are not right. They're called ungodly beliefs. They were not necessarily deliberate, but our parents believe certain ways and they pass it on to us and we just accepted it. And now, even sometimes when we see it in the Word that it contradicts what our forefathers believed, we still tend to follow our forefathers. Well, those are called ungodly beliefs, and we need to conform them to the Word of God. And we need to extend forgiveness for our forefathers, for their ignorance and for their neglect to apply the Word in their life. And finally, forgiveness is the key to get rid of demonic oppression because of these different issues. Remember, we talked about we don't forgive. God will not stop the tormentors from coming. And boy, they are just waiting to get a door open for them to come and torment us, torture us. Forgiveness leads to the healing and freedom that we are all looking for. We want to walk free from anything that holds us back from relationship with others. And yet, you know, so many times we walk with our heads down. We don't want to have eye contact with anyone because there's a lot of unforgiveness, shame, discouragement. Listen, there's a saying that goes, when you are in the dark, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. You know, think about that a little bit, and that's exactly what we do when we don't forgive. We are in a bad place, and we choose to curse the darkness by not forgiving rather than turning on a light and saying, okay, I know they did wrong, but I'm going to forgive. I'm going to choose to forgive because that's what God says. So having said all of that, you know that there are two quick scriptures that I wrote down. I'm not going to read them, but there's two ways that offenses can go. I can be the offender, or I can be the offender, or the offend the offended one or the offending one. I can be either one. Both issues are dealt in Mark 11, 25, and then Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Those two issues are dealt with. And you know what? In both instances, whether you are offended or you are the offender, we are called to initiate the restoration process, the forgiveness. Don't wait till the other apologizes to you. Jesus said, go, tell him what they did, how you felt. You are taking the initiative. You don't want this to fester. You don't want this to get to the place where you have problems, even in your own life. So we initiate the forgiveness process. I'd like for the musicians to come at this point. I am going to say a prayer. I wrote it down so that I won't miss any aspect of it. I want you to listen to what I am going to say in that prayer. And I want you to identify. If you think you got areas of unforgiveness, I want you to identify with this prayer. Just imagine you yourself speaking to the Lord in agreement here with this prayer. And then if you are very convicted and you think that you need to come and come before the Lord in this altar or wherever you are, then that is the proper thing to do. This is between you and the Lord, not anybody else. Anyone that you came with will wait for you until you're through. But this is a very important thing. We want to conclude this subject of forgiveness with making sure that we're clear. So the prayer goes like this. Father, you have made it clear that you require us to forgive. You desire the healing and freedom for us that forgiveness brings. So today, I choose to forgive all who have set me up to enter into sin and to all who have hurt me. I choose to release them, each and every one. I let go of all judgments and sin against them, and I let go of all punishments for them that I have harbored in my heart. I turn all of this and all of them over to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you for working forgiveness into my life, for giving me the grace that I need to forgive, and for continuing to enable me to forgive. Lord, now I want to confess my sins. I have judged father, mother, wife, husband, brothers, sisters, friends, pastors, employees, employers, and on and on and on. I have judged them in bitterness and anger. I want to be free. Forgive me, Father, for dishonoring them. Forgive me for becoming part of the problem rather than the part of the solution. It was my own pride that was demanding justice. Today I choose mercy over judgment. Now, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. I can receive it because you have enabled me to extend forgiveness to others. And now I ask that your forgiveness continue to flow through me to others from this day on until you call me home. And I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you for you giving us the answer, the key to our abundant life through forgiveness. And I pray, Father, that we will be able to not just do it today, but every time that there is an even an aspect of unforgiveness showing up in our hearts. I pray that you people be free from this, and that we can apply this every time that there is an issue. I thank you for your grace being extended to us. And I pray, Sean, I honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes, let's all stand and worship now that the heart is clear. Let's just worship the Lord. We'll end that with worship and praise. For he deserves all the glory. Let's just be led by the Spirit and receive what the Lord has for us. In Jesus' name.